चंडो प्रणाम
हरे
प्रभु जी।
कृष्ण, हरे कृष्ण प्रभु। वेरी ब्यूटीफुल क्लास प्रभु, अमेजिंग क्लास। आई थिंक वी आर सॉरी दैट वी डोंट हैव एनफ टाइम टू जस्ट स्टे विद यू प्रभु। व्हाट अ ब्यूटीफुल क्लास। आई मेड सो मेनी पॉइंट्स बट एज वी आर फॉलिंग शॉर्ट ऑफ टाइम आई स्किप दोज पॉइंट्स, बट आई सर्टनली लव्ड योर इंटरैक्टिव क्लास प्रभु। एंड आई वॉन्ट टू टेल यू वन थिंग दैट टूडे वी ब्रोक अ रेकॉर्ड ऑफ मैसेजेस ऑन भक्ति संघा, most messages ever. So thank you so much for that. A new record made today, and I loved your mother father communication skills. That was so beautiful from you Prabhu. Thank you for such a personal beautiful realization to put it in the class. Gail Mataji, please go ahead with your question. Mataji,
oh I'm sorry, actually I okay, yeah, now you can unmute yourself, Mataji.
Okay, Hare Krishna Prabhu. Yes, my goodness, it was so amazing to get this explanation of how, you know, because I always hear that the spiritual emotions are not the same as the material ones that we experience, but this is the first time I'm understanding why they're not the same, you know, in a more detailed way. So it was very wonderful to get that why. You know, and how, you know, so thank you so much for that. Going back to your explanation,
I just want to add one small point, Mataji. To the point that you made. They are, if they were absolutely different, it would not be a problem, but in form, they look absolutely similar to material emotions,
yes,
and
yes.
That's where we feel, that's where we get trapped. And we think we have figured it out.
Yes, like you said, that's the biggest illusion, you know, because by appearance, they're the same, you know. But in substance, they're not, they're, you know, just like one analogy I've heard is gold and iron, you know. Yes, they're both metals. So in that way, they seem the same. But in substance, they're vastly different, you know. Gold, would never pay a lot of money for iron.
I mean that at least in appearance they look little different, but I'll give you a different example. Like a vehicle that runs on petrol and electricity, you know.
Yes.
Externally it looks exactly same, but the driving force or the fuel is quite different actually.
I love that analogy even better, much better. Thank you. Okay, so my question, one of them, my God, I have so much, but the universal form, right? At one point you said that, I think when you were maybe explaining the first one, you said that it is not material, you know?
I didn't say that, Mataji.
Okay.
I didn't say that it's
not material.
You said
something similar to that. What did you say?
I said it's unary. I didn't say it's not material. It is material.
Or maybe Krishna's form is not material. I don't know. Something about not material. I guess I'll have to listen to the tape, to the recording.
I don't remember saying, but maybe if I had, then maybe it was, I didn't intend to say it that way. Maybe it was a slip of the tongue or something like that.
No. I will listen to the recording to see exactly. Because, you know, when whatever it was you said, then it made me think of the universal form that was shown to Arjuna in the Gita. Mm-hmm. And that universal form, would you say that form is material or not?
Well, it is definitely a material form only, Mataji.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
so
no doubt.
You know, and
therefore, it is mentioned that he received celestial eyes. It does not say that he received transcendental eyes to see that form. Bhagavad Gita says he received Divya Chakshu. Divya Chakshu means celestial eyes. Celestial is still material.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you said that. That's a very important distinction, you know, between celestial and transcendental. Very nice. I never heard that distinction before. And so I think you described three universal forms in this class, right? Three?
I said three descriptions of the universal form with a different focus.
Okay, so these three descriptions of a universal form, but how many
different purpose?
Yes, so one universal form was mm-hmm. described in three different ways. Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, so the universal form that was shown to Arjuna is not just a different description, it's a totally different universal form also, no?
It's the same. Because if you see the description.
The universal form that was shown to Arjuna, that description seems very different from, let's say, you know, the legs are, I don't know, Patala Lok, the head is Satya Lok or something like that. That description seems very different.
No, not necessarily, Mataji. Actually, I'll tell you a thing. Let's say if you stay in a particular part of United States, let's say if some of your relatives are coming from your father and mother and some of your relatives are coming in a particular flight and you go to receive them in the airport, and there are some of my relatives who are coming in the same flight and I am going to receive them from the airport. So if someone asks that who all came, then it is understood, then I will give the names of those people whom I went to receive, because others I don't know who they are. Similarly, you would describe those whom you went to receive, and you would not know the names of my relatives, so you would not share name. So when we read these two descriptions of who all came in the flight, your description and my description will be different, because your description will be based on whom you know and my descriptions would be based on whom I know. So therefore, so these kind of details should not be the basis of deciding whether it is the same universal form or different. But what mm-hmm. actually we should see is there is some similarity, very foundational similarity that is there in the description of the universal form in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. That is the mention that in that form, one could see whatever existed in the past, whatever existed in the future, and whatever exists in the present. There is a verse which says like that. And there are multiple verses in Srimad Bhagavatam where this description is there. This universal form covered whatever existed in the past, whatever would exist in the future, and whatever exists right now. Yad bhutam yaccha bhavyam utamritatva sheshanah yadannena tirohati, says Purusha Sukta. Similar description comes in Bhagavatam also, and similar description comes in Bhagavad Gita also. So this is so if you had asked me which was the what was the color of the flight, you know, if that was a question asked, what was the color of the flight and what time it landed, what is the number of the flight, what was the airlines, if those details you had asked, I think both of our description of that flight would have been same.
Yeah.
But we asked for a different detail. So those details will not, because that description of the universal form was being narrated by Sanjaya to Dhritarashtra. So then naturally he will say, oh, Duryodhana, Karna, and everyone is found, is getting crushed in the between the teeth of the universal form, because that does not mean that others were not there in that universal form. It's just that familiar figures, common people whom commonly both of them knew, their names are given. That's all.
So just different angles of vision depending upon the purpose for which the universal form is being described. And so same goes for, I don't know if you mentioned this universal form today, but the same goes for that, what is normally referred to as the allegorical universal form, where, you know, the mountains are described as some part of Krishna's body, and the rivers are described as some other part of Krishna's body. That would be a different perspective of the same form that was...
Yeah, it's imaginary. It's just imaginary, Mataji. It's just like, I'll give you some carrots, some peas, some shredded cabbage, some beans, finely cut beans. Then I give you all of that and I tell you, can you make Krishna out of it? So if someone has that really artistic sense, they can put all of that together and make it look like Krishna, right?
Yeah.
And you can say, oh, here is Krishna. Oh, Krishna has carrots as his hands and, peas as his, hair and things like that. But you can make Krishna that way and depict Krishna that way. But in reality, Krishna does not have all of that as his bodily parts. Yeah. So similarly, it is definitely allegorical, metaphorical description, but it helps particular class of people who cannot imagine an ordinary cowherd boy to be the lord of this whole universe. For them to visualize a person possessing all these limbs is useful for his meditation, and it's helpful for him to give up his selfish attitude and enjoying tendency in this material world for that purpose.
Yeah, okay, Prabhu. I mean, I know other people have questions, but just to clarify this point, though, because I'm there are those who definitely say that there is a universal form that is like an actual form, and they distinguish that between this allegorical form. They see one as actual and one as just, metaphorical.
There is no actual form like that, Mataji.
Oh my goodness!
I've heard what you're telling.
Who has said this? Huh? You've heard this also, no?
I've heard this, but I have not read this.
Okay. I just want to make sure I'm not crazy, because if you've heard it, then I'm happy to know that you've heard it, because I've heard this in lectures also, that there's the allegorical form. And then there is the actual form. I forget which one the Virat Rupa is. The Virat Rupa is that?
The Virat Rupa and the Vishwarupa. I mean,
yeah.
The point is, Mataji, I mean, there's an actual form means there is an actual form of the universe. But is there actually a person who has these planets as his bodily parts? That is an imagination that is very clearly mentioned in the Shastras.
Okay, but which one refers to the Virat Rupa and which one refers to the Vishwarupa?
Both are the same. And I have seen Acharyas use both these terminologies interchangeably.
Okay.
So I have not come across... I've heard it though many times, but I don't remember studying it anywhere, reading it anywhere. I did a search, but I could not find...
I'm glad that you've said that you've heard it many times, because now I feel validated. I didn't just dream this up. So thank you, Prabhu. I mean, I have other questions, but I know other people do too. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Gail Mataji. Your questions are always very beautiful and to the topic. Thank you so much, Gail Mataji. Tiffany Mataji, please go ahead.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, thank you for such a wonderful, wonderful class. So grateful for your association. My question is kind of following up to what Gail Mataji and what you were just speaking of, in light of everything that you just said, and also your comment about the universal form for Vaishnavas means the universe. How do we understand what Arjuna saw in the 11th chapter? What
did he see exactly?
Well, we have the descriptions of the heads and and everything going into Krishna's mouth and all of that. But what does that represent then?
Well, that represents the nature of time. It's called the Kala Rupa.
Okay.
So let me ask you something, Mataji. If something is, can you see something that is illusory?
No, not with my eyes, no.
Are you sure?
You're supposed to say yes, Tiffany. You're supposed to say yes.
I'm trying to think of examples of things.
Okay, right?
Like a mirage. Let me ask you something. Like water in a desert.
Ah, okay. What about a mirage? Okay, have you ever been to a 3D movie? After becoming a devotee, right? In a 3D movie, they give you a glass, right? 3D glasses. And suddenly you think, you know, there is a cake that is right in front of you. There is, you know, there are some chocolates. And then you see one who is not wearing glasses. He is seeing everyone like, you know, trying to grab something. But he is wondering, what are they trying to grab? There is nothing there. And then someone says, you put on your glasses now. And he puts on his glasses and suddenly he sees a big piece of cake right in front of him. Right? He's seeing it, but it is an illusion. Right? So even in the material world, ordinary people can create such illusion by making you see something which does not actually, which is illusory. So why can't Krishna create something like that? So just because Arjuna saw it does not necessarily mean there is actually a personality standing there with all that.
Okay. Thank you. That clears up so much for me. I appreciate it. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Tiffany Mataji. Saroja Mataji, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. Thank you very much for your enlightening class, Vinvat Pranam, Shishla Prabhupada. I just wanted to let you know that I felt a lot of relief when I heard that, you know, it's not so easy to understand some of the pastimes of Krishna, especially when I read or hear pastimes about Radharani, Krishna and gopis. I always feel that I'm not able to understand the subject matter fully. Although, you know, some devotees give in lectures, they quote some pastimes about some intimate pastimes between Radharani, Krishna and gopis. I feel that I'm still not able to relate to it and I feel some shortness of understanding. So I felt some relief when I heard that, you know, they're not really easy to understand. And another thing I wanted to clarify my understanding about when you said that the emotions, the spiritual emotions are similar to material emotions, but they are on a different platform. Is it something like, you know, when we say that love can only be to Krishna, love in this material world is not real. It is only towards Krishna. When we say that, it is not exactly that we don't understand what love is, because, you know, love is kind of synonymous with selflessness or sacrifice. So we see that in the material world, especially in relationships like mother and son or mother and daughter, that a mother's love is always very selfless and she sacrifices a lot. So we understand what love is. But of course, in the material world, they tend to misuse this word in so many other contexts. They don't understand the real meaning of love. But when we understand that kind of a love, that in those relationships that are purely selfless, we do. We can extend that a little bit to understand how the spiritual prema will be, right?
To some extent, yes. In the spiritual emotions and material emotions, in this case, love, they are different in two ways, generally. One is very explicit, another maybe little bit not so explicit. One is material love is on the platform of false ego. It's on the bodily platform. Even though it may be selfless, it is selfless without a proper understanding of what the true self is. Right?
Huh? Yeah.
But spiritual love is on the platform of true ego. Jivera Swarubhoi Krishnera Nityadas. Right? And another difference is that material emotions are generally and mostly for Atmendriya Preeti, for gratifying one's own senses. Even though it may be for helping that person, for making the other person happy, but there is some gratification that we get towards our senses also. And you cannot, I mean, probably, as you said, between mother and son or mother and daughter, it may not be so much Atmendriya Priti, but certainly the first case, you know, however selfless it may be, but material relationships are on the platform of false ego and not true ego. So that is one very prominent difference. But in most of the other relationships, they are mostly for Atmendriya Priti, for own gratification. But spiritual emotions are for Krishnendriya Priti. Or as Rupa Goswami says, Krishna Saukhyartham Eva Kevalam Udyama. Every endeavor is purely for the pleasure of Krishna and for not one's own pleasure, like that.
Yeah, that is true, Prabhu, I understand. But I was just trying to see if we can, you know, understand from this selflessness of this relationship, yeah, we will be able to understand at least a little bit of, you know, how the
definitely
real
if material emotions and spiritual emotions had nothing in common, then we can never understand spiritual emotions.
Yeah,
it's not like that. They have lot in common, especially in their external form. They have lot in common. So that's why Srila Rupa Goswami says, Yuvatinam yata yuni yunam cha yuvatau yata manobiramate tadvad manobiramatam vai. He says, my dear Krishna, just like a young woman gets attracted to a young man, and similarly a young man gets attracted to a young woman, may my attraction be very steadfastly be attracted to you, like that, he says. So it is there. There is similarity. If not, then how would he compare attraction between a man and a woman to attraction between a jiva and Krishna? So if there was no similarity, there's definitely similarity. But we have to see what sense. In this case, the sense of intensity, you know, the intensity of that attraction is quite intense like that. There are so many other similarities.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu, for clarifying. I just wanted to understand that, you know, when you were talking about Purusha avataras and Leela avataras, so there is some hope that we will be able to understand these intimate pastimes also one day with the constant reading of.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But not, yeah, but not prematurely. We have to work for it.
Hmm.
We have to earn it.
The Leela avataras and other pastimes. That's what was explained.
Nah, by making spiritual progress.
Okay.
By actually making spiritual progress. Then the more and more anarthas get cleansed of our heart, and the more we develop love towards Krishna, to that extent we'll understand. Vishaya chadiya kabe shuddha habe man, tabe hama herabo shri vrindavan. So in order to truly understand, to the extent our heart gets cleansed of the material attachments, to that extent we can understand spiritual attachments.
Okay. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Saroja Mataji. Prabhu, do you have more time, Prabhuji? Because there are a few...
In exactly another 12 minutes, I have my next class starting. I can take one more question.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu. Gail Mataji, you have another question?
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, one second. Oh. I have sent one question in the chat, Prabhu. That was Megha Mataji's question. Would you like to address?
Okay, let me check, Mataji. Whose question? Reading these technical topics a prerequisite to understand spiritual emotions. Is that one, Mataji?
Yes,
is
probably.
Is reading these technical topics the prerequisite to understand spiritual emotions? Is there another way to understand spiritual emotions? Well, to understand spiritual emotions, we may not need to read these technical sections. But when we read these technical sections and understand who is that personality who is crawling in Vrindavan, who is drinking milk from his mother's breast, who is stealing the gopi's clothes, we cannot take that personality to be ordinary unless we absorb ours in exactly understanding who this personality is. Then we may take it very cheaply. So it's not, you will certainly not understand spiritual emotions by reading these technical topics, but you will certainly be able to distinguish material emotions and spiritual emotions by properly absorbing ourselves in these technical topics. Of course, I didn't get time to cover this part properly, but there are many other slides where I have discussed these topics. Maybe some other day I will touch upon it.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
There is another question in chat box from Ananda Vilas Prabhuji. Prabhu, you gave us beautiful key points. My question is that, is it the correct understanding that all those emotions we have are perverted reflection of spiritual world? And second is, and we underestimate our conditioning.
Yeah. In one sense, yes. They are definitely perverted reflection material of the spiritual emotions. If not, otherwise, there is nothing in this material world which has its independent existence from either things or emotions in the spiritual world. So definitely material emotions have their root in the original spiritual emotions in the spiritual world, but it is just in a perverted form. I think I need to end here because...
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Wonderful, wonderful class, Prabhuji. And all your classes are very unique. You know, every time you bring some new topic and we get so much absorbed in that, we don't realize how the time flies away, you know. So thank you so much, Prabhuji. And very sorry we cannot give more time to you.
I'm sorry for taking so much of your time, Madhu. Yeah.
So true, Madhaji. So true. Very beautiful class. Prabhuji, we look forward for your session again. We'll let you go now because we know other devotees are waiting for your next class. So dear devotees, let us pay our obeisances to Prabhuji. Vancha kalapataru vashya kripa sindhu vai vacha patitana pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah granthaj shrimad bhagavatam
jai
shrila prabhupad ji ki
jai
shri balaram shakti prabhu ki
jai hare krishna
thank you so very much Prabhuji.
So wonderful to be in all of your classes. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, dear devotees, for joining and for staying with us. We'll end the call here and please join back tomorrow for another wonderful session.